Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the No Truer 2 podcast. I'm Troy Thompson coming to you. My IG, Twitter, and YouTube is Thompson Troy. And all you can reach me at Facebook at Troy Thompson.
This is Marlon Sadler. You can follow me at Twitter. Yes, I'm not on Twitter.
No, you're not. Well, when he gets on Twitter, you can follow him.
You can follow me, but right now you can follow me on Instagram at Sadler Marlon and on Facebook.
I'm Josh Cook. You can follow me on Twitter at JoshuaCook86. And from there, you can find me everywhere else.
Find him everywhere else. Today, we're going to be talking about Drunk Monkey. Drunk Monkey is a concept that Marlon introduced me last week. And it was pretty cool. So we were talking about what to do with your drunk monkeys, how to get rid of drunk monkeys. Yeah. It's a really cool concept. Before we do that, we're going to talk about what's going on. I went and seen a movie, guys, and I know you haven't seen it yet, but I need you to try to schedule something together, maybe take your wives out to see this movie. Now, for those who can't see through podcast world, I'm a Caucasian on the outside, but on the inside I think I may be black.
There is a black man trapped in there, yes.
Somewhere. I think so. I think he was, I don't know. Anyhow. How's he ready to be way too much? Way too much.
You can't do that.
Troy. You cannot say that. That is a different podcast. Tune in next week. We'll be sharing you with you. Josh, you're
a ginger.
You're ginger.
A flaming red beard and flaming red hair. Yeah, I'm white though.
He is white, very, very white, freckles.
Yeah, I am not an African American. I am a black man.
Oh. Maybe we can get into the difference.
That's a whole
future podcast.
Yeah,
tune in next week. You don't want to miss this one.
Now, there's a lot of people. You just pissed off a lot of people.
Like, yeah, I know this. Yeah, I know this. That's all right. You know.
Okay, I'm just saying that. Don't be too mad yet. Just stay there with us. He'll explain that.
Rover's morning glory.
We'll explain that later. But in the movie. It is set in among racial tension, I guess is a good way to say it. And so I don't want to give anything away, but I'm just saying, if you happen to be a black man,
that would be me.
Or an African American, because it's really based on the color. The color is really what we're saying here. Don't trust any white person that drinks tea with a spoon in it, because you don't want to get taken to the sunken place. And that's all I'm going to say about that. So you're going to go see it, and it's going to freak you out. It's going to scare you. It's not what you think. So
yeah,
it's not like, you know, a lot of people see it and they're like, oh, they're just, I see what's going on there. It's more realistic than what it appears to be in the advertisements of it, you know, in the promotions of it.
Yeah,
it's like, more really like a,
it looks like a horror film.
It is horrific.
I don't do that.
Okay, it is a horrific
concept.
Mm-hmm. However, it's realistic. Like we were talking on the way here, I'm sure there are a lot of like people out there that, like, if you got enough money, and you want to live forever, well, maybe these things are possible. So anyhow,
should I throw the 3 packs of Lipton tea that I have at home, or am I just about the story?
You can drink it. Just don't let any white people
prepare
or relatives of white people that because your wife.
I have a white wife.
She's white, so
yeah.
So if there are any relatives that come over, hide the spoons.
Hide the spoons.
You know, as a matter of fact, don't even offer them tea.
All we have is Kool-Aid. All we have is Kool-Aid in our house.
Hey, and you know what you get? You get the complimentary. You know, Cavs cup. That's from the games. That's right. You know, because
your cups are bond.
I know, but you can't. You can't. You're not going to drink tea out of them like that.
I use them to rinse my tub out.
How many souvenir cups you got?
I have, like, I only have four. But.
You only have four?
I've got more Indians than that.
I got,
is that right?
Yeah. Oh, Indians cups. Oh, yeah.
I'm not a true Cavs fan.
Oh, I have tons of Cavs cups. Those are the only things I drink out of.
Yeah, me too. My wife has these little dainty glasses and teacups, and I'm like, woman, let me get, like,
that's
a drink.
I want a drink. I don't want to swallow.
That's a swallow. You have to swallow an orange.
Who did this? Who put this swallow on it? No, no. So what you guys go see? Yes.
Where did we go?
You didn't go together.
No, we didn't go together.
Then Josh.
Then I coaxed him into it.
He did, to go see the Shaq.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. You know, he told me he cried through the whole thing, and I was prepared not to because of he was a big baby.
I am a big baby.
Yeah, but then I went in, and it was probably, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes into the movie, and I was over there bawling.
10, 15 minutes in, you cried.
Yeah, you never stop crying. That's the problem.
No way. What do you got to cry about 10, 15 minutes in?
For you, what was the point where, like, you couldn't hold back no more?
I mean, it was just the relationship that I, you know, with God and with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, that I wasn't prepared for.
So I didn't. So clearly, they go into the plot of the story quickly.
Oh, instantly! Oh, yeah. Within 5 minutes, you know, like,
you know what's happening.
Okay, first off,
you don't understand. The
there's a book written about. Right. There's a book first.
Yeah,
I've never read the book. I was probably
you never read the book.
No, I don't.
What in the world made you go see the movie?
No, my dad actually.
Yeah.
My dad's like me, where he can't stand Christian movies. He says he didn't cry, but I'm sure he did. I don't know.
I mean, Dr. D, you know, he's more.
He is.
You know,
he's, yeah. But he was like, you should go see it. And I was like, okay. I hate Christian movies.
Yeah.
Your dad, he's probably sitting there theologically.
Yeah, he was. And
red
I was
flag
too,
and everything.
I was too. I was sitting there with my thumbs up. I was like, Caesar, thumbs up, thumbs down. Like, the whole time. Like, no,
that's in the Bible. Not in the Bible.
Like, no, the whole time. Whole time, man. Look, you can come at me with all your theological jargon.
Blasphemy!
But it was 100% on how they portrayed God, how they portrayed Jesus, and how they
I just want you to know, everyone who just heard you say is 100% on is... I hope you paid attention to all of his
Twitter
handles.
My Twitter is @JoshuaCook.
Oh, they're coming at you.
Hate. Come at me.
They
answered. They took on the toughest questions.
Yes.
The premise of the movie is, why would God allow my little girl to be murdered?
Well, thanks for spoiling the whole
thing. Yeah, because I didn't know that before I went.
So you didn't know that was even happening?
No, I had no idea that was happening. So he spoiled it for me before I went.
Oh, he told you that before you went?
Yes, he told me that before I went.
Jerk.
But you can tell me the end of a movie.
You still won't watch it.
I'm not going to watch
it. You still cry.
I don't want to watch it. I cry bald.
10, 15 minutes.
Next to my wife, I was crying.
So what was the thing that made you cry?
A big old grown man, you know. Just how much, like, God loves you.
Okay.
Like, you just don't realize it, you know. I didn't until, like, what was his quote that he...
Which one?
He kept saying just to people how fond he was of them, right?
he said...
When you say he, God, who are you talking
about? I'm sorry.
We're talking.
The one thing it does put into question is God's gender. But that's...
No, I wasn't. That didn't...
That's what,
that didn't
that God is who
So
he
who
is
plays the father in the movie?
Oh, I don't know the dude's name. I can Google it.
The father, like the actual father?
The God, you know, Jesus the Son, God the Father.
Oh,
God,
no, the Holy Spirit. The father of the young girl.
No. Who plays God? Who plays God? God.
Octavia Spencer.
Oh!
Yeah, she plays God.
She's awesome.
Yeah. She is a great man. She nailed the role.
So she's not only a female, but
she's God.
Now you have to wrestle with God being black.
Yeah.
Oh man, you got issues.
Or an African American.
If you're a white man, with white privilege, you got.
Oh yeah, I can definitely
get
see
that.
You got problems.
If you're going to get that mess out of here.
If you're stuck in the '70s, that could be an issue.
You got issues.
Okay. But no, God keeps every time she or he references somebody.
We're gonna say he.
Yeah, it. You know, whatever. I'm not in trouble for that.
You're really struggling. Twitter's going to blow up.
What's your handle again?
You're in trouble.
He says to everybody, when he references anybody, I'm particularly fond of that person.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Also, no matter who it is. Doesn't matter. Jesus is particularly fond of
them. At one point, they go as far as saying about the murderer, particularly fond.
See, because I'm the type of dude.
You gotta stop right now.
Like, I'm the type of dude, like, I mean, let's be honest. You kill my daughter.
Okay. Right.
I'm not particularly fond of you. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to introduce you to Jesus.
You know what, though?
And, like, and I'm going to tell you I'm going to introduce you to him.
They address that.
And you're going to have to,
because that's what he was.
Pay attention, because
he was wanting to do what you wanted to do.
They talked about that rage you would feel. Yeah.
Yes. And
I would be afraid. Father, but like, Jesus, like, I'm about to go kill him.
The
like,
father figure God sits down with the guy as they're on the path to find the daughter's body. Okay, and he says, I can't do this. And God goes,
if you guys are going to see this movie,
yeah, you gotta see it. I'm sorry. He says,
this. Well, I read the book, so I know.
Okay,
so.
Then you're good. So he's like, you may not forgive him wholly right now, but it's a path that's worth taking.
Yeah.
And he's like,
I forget now. Was the murderer? He's still alive, right?
Murderer's still alive. They don't cover that.
I was going to say I didn't get.
They don't.
He was still in existence. They're just dealing with.
They don't give closure to that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the part where I would come in and offer closure.
Yeah.
With the business end of my
Glock
19.
That's where I feel you too. I'm like, I'm going to keep you for 7 days and then I'm going
to
introduce you.
Then I'm going to show you to you. It's the stuff in the middle where the lectures are going to take place. You know? That's awesome.
It was spot on, nice. However you want to say it, doctrine, theologically,
You just keep digging that hole, man.
The whole time.
You may be on a phone call with your dad after this podcast.
No, my dad he's
got my back. That's good. He's a teacher. He's a theological student.
Why I don't watch Christian movies, is because of so many people put emotional sensationalism into that movie of what is correct.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Like, that whole concept bugged me. Like, with the theological police. Because here's my problem with it. You want to police their theology when you don't even care if they show up on Sundays.
Ooh. Ouch, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, how about you just be a better dude who loves Jesus, who, like, looks after your friends and family to see if they could just come to the church where the truth is being dispensed on the regular. Like, that's what drives me crazy about the theological police. Yeah. Because those, you know, the police who are out there, you know, waving red flags about, you know, theological errors in the movie and all that, but they don't give a darn about, like, the absence of Sunday school in church, how people are biblically ignorant, who sit in the pews every Sunday. If they don't give enough attention to what they hear every Sunday, if they don't even think that's valuable enough to digest every Sunday and live by it, what makes you think that a movie that comes out is going to somehow change their whole world, and they're going to start living by the heresy of the shack or whatever? Isn't that dumb? That's the dumbest thing. So, like, stop it. This is nonsense. All right.
But anyways, they hit every hard topic that you can possibly think of. God's wrath.
Yeah.
You know, and all that fun stuff. Like,
so did they explain why God's a God of war?
Why God's the God of war?
Mm-hmm. War's necessary, y'all.
No, definitely. They didn't conquer. They didn't tackle that type of rhetoric. But they did. When he sat,
I'm gonna go tonight. I'm gonna go watch it
today.
I'm gonna go see it.
He says, me and guy sits there in front of him and says, "You seem to have an issue with letting people go. Your son went through some awful things in his life." He says that to God, and she stops and holds up her wrists and says, "People don't realize the Trinity and what affects one is kind of affects the other."
Oh, we're the
and
same.
She holds up her wrists and shows him the scars of it all.
Yeah,
and you don't realize what love costs.
Yeah.
It was so good.
It's easier to get with the visual, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, it really is. Yeah, I'm probably slaughtering it, but
I mean, you're right on. But I'm just saying, like, as far as that.
Oh, the whole time
seeing it on screen,
there's a lot of symbolism in the movie. Yeah, just be very attentive in between your tears. Be very attentive to, like,
Did you want to, like, amen at certain points?
There were times I wanted to stand up and shout.
And shout, hallelujah! Yeah. I'm going to be on Pentecostal.
The funny part was, is, like, as I'm crying, like, when I say I'm crying, I'm not like, I'm like, you know.
Well, sure, ain't nothing wrong with that.
I'm a big boy. But you could hear everybody sniffling in the entire theater. There wasn't an empty seat in the house.
I was the only one sniffling. There was a, we went to an early show.
Really? At
12:20.
No, we went to like 7:30.
They were all senior citizens.
There was a pastor I knew of another.
So Marlon is assuming that senior citizens are...
halfway there.
So, Martin said, "Listen, they lack the sensitivity because they're almost dead." Listen, let's get into Drunk Monkey. Marlon, talk about today. Wow, what is this concept? Introduce our audience to the
Drunk
concept.
Drunk Monkey is a term derived from Keller Williams from a course called Bold. I just kind of took it and applied it to everyday life, but it's pretty much the voice of limited beliefs in our heads that keeps us from accomplishing our goals and just imprisons us in that just getting by comfort zone that a lot of us live in. And so he's just truly a character assassin.
Drunk monkey.
The drunk monkey.
So the idea is that everyone has a drunk monkey.
I believe everyone has a drunk monkey.
So so when you say that, immediately my mind conjures up these images of this monkey sitting on my shoulder.
Yeah.
It's like an angry, destructive, belligerent.
Right. Just whispering in your ear constantly, things that are going to hold you back from your goals, man. You know what I mean? You're not smart enough.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't white enough.
Mm-hmm.
I know you tried that before. You can't do that. So,
yeah.
Come on, everybody's been in a situation where you've talked to somebody you love, somebody close to you, and you tell them a great idea, and, you know, they're looking at you like a prison pony, you know, but it's a great idea. You know, but because drunk monkey doesn't have to always be your monkey.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
You know, drunk monkey can easily be one of your boy's monkey.
The stuff I put on you.
You put on, yeah.
My monkeys talk too.
Do they?
Well, you're saying my monkeys talk to you.
Your monkeys
talk to
me.
So your monkeys talk to me. Right. And the whole time we all got these monkeys.
Right. And it is. It's really just, I think, the concept of misery loves company. And the drunk monkey don't like to be alone.
They really
Oh, yeah.
Oh, misery.
That's
really
awesome.
Really loves company.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. So he doesn't like to be alone. So, he will bring you down to his level, which is just complete failure.
That's an interesting concept, the drunk monkey concept. Because when, you know, obviously everything's spiritual to me. Mm-hmm. Anyone who knows me knows that. So when I begin to think about this concept of a drunk monkey that exists, it's almost like the voice of my enemy, mm-hmm. my supreme enemy, manipulating every insecurity, every fear,
yes.
you know, every just everything that weakens me, this monkey just takes advantage of and seeks opportunity to, like, it's funny because you talk about a drunk monkey, so everyone's like, oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Because the enemy, like, in my mind, like, once again, everything's spiritual. So then the enemy really receives joy.
Right.
In your destruction.
Yeah.
When you cower, he likes it, you know, kind
he
of deal.
It.
Like, when he puts you in a box, you know.
Yeah, he loves it, you know. And it's just that spirit of doubt, which is so greedy. You know?
Oh my gosh, that's a good way to explain that.
Yeah, the spirit of doubt is just so greedy, man. It'll just devour your confidence.
It just takes and takes and takes.
Yeah, it just doesn't stop. And so, you know, if you allow that monkey to, if you keep listening to him, he's gonna keep on talking, and he'll start talking from the time you open your eyes in the morning until the time you fall asleep, and even when you get up to pee.
Man, I'm telling you, that's when the drunk monkey talks to me the most, is at night.
Yeah.
That like 3 hour span of when you lay your head down between you actually fall asleep. Between like YouTube and Facebook and everything else that we do and stuff. And it's at that point where it's like, yep, I failed today.
Yeah.
So screw it all.
Yeah.
But why do we listen to him? What's your thought process on why do we allow it to have such weight? why do we allow that drunk monkey to be able to utter one That's sentence good. In your thought process?
Yeah.
And it just can alter your habits. It can alter your, you know, how you do things. You can you can second guess, you know, everything from how you shake someone's hand to who you're gosh, not going to talk to tomorrow.
It's in everything. It's in everything. And I think the drunk monkey plays to your emotions.
Yeah.
So there's an element of truth to what the monkey says to you.
Yeah.
So when he's whispering, mine doesn't seem to whisper either. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't whisper.
Yeah, mine sounds.
He's like fireworks off in the background.
he's like those angry chimpanzees, you know? Like, yeah. He's making a lot of noise. Yeah. But he seems to play on like conversations, and then he'll fill the gap. I heard this concept from Andy Stanley. He said everyone fills the gap with something.
Yeah.
You know, like when somebody comes in the room and they were late for work, and everyone sees them come in late from work, so everyone's filling the gap.
Yeah.
So everybody's making their own assumptions as to why this person's late, or, you know, you're like painting a picture of they're just, you know, he slept in, or
right.
You know, so everyone's filling the gap, and how you fill that gap, and so the drunk monkey then fills the gap.
Yes, he does.
In destructive ways. Yes. So he will make you assume the worst.
Right.
He'll make you assume, you know, grab fear.
Yeah. And because you feel like you have to do more now. You know, like you feel extra, like, paranoid about what everybody else is thinking. So now you're the employee of the day because you're going all out when you don't really need to. You know, and that's the thing, is most of the time people don't even care. When you really look at it, people don't even care. It's you and your monkey that has put this dark cloud over you. And so it's
because your monkey knows how to talk to you.
He knows.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
He knows what to say to you.
I think the monkey's also like non-biased on if you're in your spiritual walk. Like if you're a pastor or just a layperson, it doesn't matter. It doesn't care who you are. Mm-hmm. It doesn't, just because of,
doesn't care about your status.
Yeah, it doesn't care about that. It really doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's your monkey, you own him, but he'll poop in his own hand and smash it in your face.
That's funny, man, but that's true. Because that monkey will put it on you. He'll put it on you, and you'll carry that.
Right.
That's crazy. That's what I'm saying. The concept is so fascinating.
Yeah.
You know, to think of your thought life in this manner, mm-hmm. as a destructive, belligerent, harmful monkey that just plays with you, that just toys with you, like swings on your shoulder.
That's right.
You know, gets off your shoulder when you get into a room and just wreaking havoc everywhere he goes, like just biting people. It's crazy. It's crazy.
You can see him, so you stressed out about your little monkey running around.
Yeah.
You know?
You know how often I do that? When I talk to people and the drunk monkey starts to become belligerent in my mind.
Mm.
And there's just my mind begins to race.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy. The reality, like the how real this is. Because I'll be talking to people and I'll be looking you right in the face and thinking about, like, I can feel the rage of the drunk monkey going off, and I'm trying to stay composed while my drunk monkey is up there touching wires in my head, and he's up there yanking cords out.
Mine is a giant server room.
He's up there like plugging stuff in. That does not go there, drunk monkey. Drunk monkey is tripping. Yeah, that's awesome. So listen, how do you get rid of drunk monkey? Any idea? Like,
I've always had this like saying that, you know, our thoughts are very precious, and a lot of times we disregard what God says. And I think God talks to us a lot through our thoughts. Because we're in tune with Him, you're going to be in tune with His thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And God's voice can be as loud as a bolt of lightning and as quiet as a disregarded thought.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't pay attention to our thoughts, as much as we give to the drunk monkey, you know, we don't give the disregarded thoughts like, anything under the sun that you think of, you have no idea what could be God's thoughts. And until that you step forward and those thoughts become actions.
I think it's definitely identifying the thoughts, and because the drunk monkey is going to try to outpower God's voice, and you'll get confused.
Absolutely.
You know, he's going to try to outspeak him, and so just identifying who's talking, you know, because words are so powerful. You know, you're going to have to talk back. Mm-hmm. Number one, you're going to have to stop boozing your monkey up because you're buying the booze.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh, that's a really good concept.
Yeah, you're buying really booze good. For him, so you have to.
So you're feeding this drunk monkey.
You are, and so you just have to stop buying drinks for him.
Cut him off.
And cut him off. You have to cut him off, and really, you know. So I think at times you have to just sit back and think about your successes. You know, maybe in the past they don't have to be big; they can be little ones, to kind of get you back into who you really are and to tap back into the greatness that's in
you. That's good.
You know, I don't care what it is. I don't care if you want a spelling bee. Just tap back into that.
Yes.
Know that you have that greatness in you.
Absolutely.
Know that, you know, nobody can stop you. We all got a lion in us, you know, but you doubt your lion and he'll devour you. You know, you believe in your lion, feed your lion, and he'll devour anything or anybody in your way.
Man, son, that's awesome.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know. You know, when you talk about the drunk monkey thing, It's a problem. The drunk monkey is a problem.
He is a problem.
He, you know, obviously, you know, and you can know these things and still struggle with them.
Very true.
More than anything, you know, people think, you know, when I speak on Sunday mornings in a church, that I don't struggle with what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. The fact that I'm talking about it probably is a revelation that I'm struggling in it. Mm-hmm. But you know, and to talk to, you know, to try to take your insecurities and manage them is just one of the most difficult things to do. So for the drunk monkey, obviously, you know, I know the thoughts are a part of that. You know, you can know a thing, but still not be able to master a thing.
Absolutely.
And it's, you know, when your feelings are hurt or you're offended or, you know, you're disregarded or whatever, you know, that drunk monkey, he rages, man. And a lot of times when my drunk monkey's out of control, I'll try to like think about like, okay, what should I do? Like what, Troy, if you were on the outside talking to you, what counsel would you offer to you in this scenario? You ever do that? I do it all the time because it's what I do, right? So I'm like, okay, this is what I would clinically say to these people. I try to sterilize myself from my emotions. And in doing so, I can tell myself what to do. But I find myself many times, I mean, even, you know, I just find myself still listening to the drunk monkey.
Even though I've
actually done what I knew and what I know I should do, like, okay, this is how you should handle this. You should be rational. You should, you know, I always tell people, don't allow yourself to be be taken hostage by your emotions.
Yeah. Right.
You should be calculated. You should be spiritual, right?
We're cold blooded.
You should definitely be spiritual, Troy. You should not be so, you know, so weak, you know, and but still, there's still part.
And then you come face to face with them.
And then the monkey still talks. So even though I handled it and everything I did was right.
Right.
That does not quiet that monkey on my shoulder from talking. And I think to overcome the monkey, that just has to happen more and more. Like the monkey has to know that his belligerence doesn't influence your behavior.
That's good.
You see,
yeah.
The more you can just, you know, you hear them. Like, yeah, that's funny too, because a lot of people act like they don't have a drunk monkey. Those are the worst.
Oh,
those people irritate me.
Who would think that the drunk monkey is God's voice?
No.
Those people are. Those are the people who think the drug monkey is not real.
Oh, man.
They lack discernment of knowing what's
that's
really
crazy.
Going on.
No, yeah. That's definitely another podcast. Oh, you think so God's weird. Voice is the drunk monkey. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you can't confuse the two. But those are the people that irritate me the most because they think, you know, those are the worst. I can't stand those people. But what I think I've discovered in dealing with it is even though the drunk monkey still talks, I try to just, like, clinically and spiritually. Obviously, there's a spiritual component where I'm like, all right, Troy, this is what the Lord would require from you in this scenario. And do it, but then, you know, an hour later, I want to get on Facebook. I want to say some things. Right. An hour later, I want to use my status to wreak rage down let the drunk monkey. You know what? The drunk monkey's right in that regard. That should be spoken out loud. I think I'm going to go ahead and listen to the drunk monkey, and I'm going to let you know what he just told me because it's good. That drunk monkey just told me was good. It's true. It's true. And a lot of people are using that. You ever see the memes? They'd be like, people don't like when you tell the truth. Like, you know.
I think that the drunk monkey has to love social media.
Oh my gosh, that's his playground.
I love that you can discreetly turn on notifications on posts. Like, you don't have to tell the person. Like, you just click turn on notifications, and nobody knows. I love that. Like, what's going on?
So I've turned off all notifications.
You don't get any?
I don't get any.
Why?
No. Because
drunk monkey.
Because it's a playground, you know.
It is
and so,
a playground.
You know, that's another one, you know, where that notification, as soon as it goes off, I mean, you'll wreck grabbing your phone to see what's going on. So I say I turn on. All
I wonder why you weren't responding to all of those posts.
Yeah.
Last night, for all those watching who follow us on social media, you saw the picture of me and Marlon.
Yeah.
If not, go check it out. Marlon's got some Billy G going on.
I had no idea what was going on. Check the shirt out too.
The shirt was fly. The shirt was fly. Yeah, nobody even noticed that. Saw it.
Yeah, you'll get the collar.
I know the shirt.
It, you know,
1992. What?
I'll dig up a picture of the entire shirt at some point.
Yeah.
But no, I turned it off, man, because I didn't like the control that it had over me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I gotta do that.
Yeah,
I gotta do that.
Yeah.
But I made a point, and I, you know, before the concept of drunk monkey, but I purposely and intentionally determined that I would not allow the voice of the drunk monkey to have the airwaves of my mind or my social media platforms.
Yeah.
So I think I turned a corner about a year ago, where I'm like, you know what? There's too much negativity in the world, and so all I will post is what comes from my spirit,
right.
Basically. I mean, and then there's some other stuff that I have fun with, clearly, but I determined to shut the drunk monkey down.
That's good.
By not giving him any promotion. I'm not promoting the drunk monkey.
Right.
You know. And when I see the drunk monkey's activity on social media, it's really hard at times not to participate. And man, I'm telling you, there are times, like 2 days ago, I was like, you know what? I just need to say this. The drunk monkey needs to be said from the drunk monkey's perspective.
Yeah. Jesus flipped a couple tables here and there.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what the drunk monkey told me.
Yeah. Just for real here. Jesus flipped a couple tables in there.
Yeah, Jesus. The drunk monkey's like, yeah, flip them over. Flip them over. Flip them all over.
Have me caged up for too long, man.
Well, that was cool, man. It was a good good topic today. We got to shut it down, though. We'll be back next week. Hope you'll tune in. No Truer 2 Plus 1.
Peace.